Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
I want to speak to you for a few minutes before we observe the Lord's Supper together. As you can tell, the Lord's table is sitting here right in front of us today. But I want to deal with Galatians chapter 6. Just a few minutes here today as I talk about one verse, and really one statement in this verse. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians 6 and verse 14, Paul writes, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Let me read the first half of that verse again, because that's the focus of today's message. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." This verse reminds me that as Christians, we must never, ever get over the cross. Never get over the cross. From time to time, we need to mentally take a journey back to the cross. That's why we observe the Lord's Supper, because it reminds us of how important the cross is to us. It was the great evangelist D.L. Moody who said, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." Now, that sounds like a little bit of a tongue twister, but let me say it again. This is what D.L. Moody said. He said, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." And so in this verse here in Galatians 6 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul is saying that we must never forget that the cross is the main thing. God forbid that I should glory. Now, what does that statement mean? It means that we should never get to the place in our Christian lives where we boast or we brag about anything other than the cross of Jesus Christ. What are you bragging about today? What do you boast about today? As believers in Jesus Christ, we brag about Jesus and we brag about what's been accomplished on the cross. I will glory in the cross. You see, we're being admonished here in this verse to take extra precaution that we not become so self-consumed, so self-absorbed, so self-sufficient, and so self-reliant that we forget where we would be today without the cross of Jesus. Do you realize that you're here today not because of you, but because of Jesus and what He accomplished on the cross? For those of us as believers, there is no room for self-glory. But rather, we must be consumed with the person of the cross, the purpose of the cross, and the power of the cross. It's so easy to get so consumed with ourselves that we fail to realize that without the cross, we are nothing. From a human standpoint, I want you to think about the person who is writing this verse. I understand it is inspired scripture. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is writing these words to us. But I want you to understand from a human standpoint, the Apostle Paul had a lot to brag about. He had a lot to brag about. And yet he says here, But God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I should boast. God forbid that I should brag about anything other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what Paul could have boasted about, what he could have bragged about. Well, Number one, he had received a first-class education at the feet of Gamaliel and was comfortable speaking multiple languages. He was not only a pure-blooded Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, the Bible says, but he was also a free-born Roman citizen. As far as religion is concerned, Paul was also trained as a rabbi, and he belonged to the strict sect of the Pharisees. He fasted, he tithed, he kept the Sabbath and all the feasts that were required under Mosaic law. Paul testified in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. In other words, if I could brag about something, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he must trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, Paul is saying, there's nobody that could brag more about what he did in his own power, in his own abilities, in his own flesh when it comes to religion. But then he goes on and he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, I did everything that I could. I had a lot to brag about. But keep in mind that he said also, I count all these things but dung. None of it mattered whenever he met Jesus and he came to the cross. You see, even when it came to his accomplishments as a Christian, as a minister of the gospel, again, from a human standpoint, he had a lot to boast about. He no doubt traveled more miles and taking the gospel to unreached people groups than any other apostle in the New Testament. He won more souls. He planted more local churches, and he trained more believers for the ministry than all of the rest of the apostles put together. In miracles, in tongues, and healings, Paul excelled them all. Half of the books of the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul because of all the divine revelations that he had received from God. When it came to suffering for the cause of Christ, no one had been through as much as Paul had been through. He had been beaten. He had been stoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had experienced firsthand the difficulty and the rugged conditions of first century travel, which involved extreme temperatures, hunger, and thirst. He had suffered rejection of his own countrymen, and he was constantly being attacked and accused by false teachers. On and on I could go with the list, but I really believe that one thing is for certain, and it would be this. If Paul was here today, he would say this: let's not talk about all that. Let's talk about the cross. Let's not talk about what all that I did prior to my conversion. Let's not even talk about all that I accomplished after my conversion. Let's talk about Jesus and let's talk about the cross. You see, it's at the cross that we die to self, because it's there and only there at the cross that we see ourselves as God truly sees us. When I see a prideful and arrogant Christian, I often think to myself, they've not reflected much on the cross lately. They're all consumed with themselves. They're not thinking about Jesus and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. I really believe that the farther that we get from the cross, the more we will battle our old Adamic nature that seeks to live life independent of God. You see, the victorious, spirit-filled Christian life is only lived as we keep our focus, our eyes on the cross. It's as we stay focused on the cross that self slowly fades away. Don't ever lose sight of the cross, because it's at the cross that everything about us is put into proper perspective. We walk away from the cross realizing that we are just sinners saved by God's amazing grace. What we have accomplished in life is completely insignificant compared to what Jesus accomplished on the cross. I want you to understand that today. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking about all that you have accomplished in your life, maybe all the things you have accomplished in ministry here at Canton Baptist Temple, I want you to understand that all of that, even though we're very grateful for what you have done, is insignificant compared to what Jesus accomplished on the cross. In the first century, the Romans crucified thousands of people. And consequently, the cross became a symbol of extreme torture and death. As a matter of fact, historians tell us that during the reign of Pontius Pilate all the way to Titus, a period of around 40 years, at least 30,000 Jews were crucified. But this is not just any cross that Paul is pointing us to here. Look at the verse again. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, what makes the difference, what makes this cross so different than all the other crosses, is the person who is hanging upon the cross. The one who suffered, the one who bled, the one who died on the cross of Calvary was none other than the Son of God Himself. Listen to the eyewitness account of the centurion and also those standing at the foot of the cross, where we read in Matthew 27, verse 54, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" You see, this was not just another crucifixion, not just another person dying upon the cross. There on the cross hung the perfect, sinless Son of God, who was there for one purpose, and that was to die for the sins of the world. He died for your sin and for my sin. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Jesus Christ died on the cross in order that we might be set free from the bondage of sin. It's at the cross that lost sinners like us are declared righteous when we put our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us," that is God the Father making God the Son sin for, and you can put your own name there in the verse, Mike Frazier, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. He was sinless. He was righteous. He was just, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How do we become righteous? It's when we put our faith, our complete trust in Christ and what he accomplished on that old rugged cross. The cross of Jesus accomplished what you and I would never be able to accomplish in a million years. Do you understand that you cannot save yourself? No amount of good works will ever get you to heaven. You cannot become a child of God in your own merit. The cross of Christ has the power to do that which no man can ever do, and that is to make an acceptable atonement for sin that satisfies a holy God. The message of the cross is this: you can't make your peace with God because Jesus has already done that for you. Amen. I hear sometimes preachers, and maybe as they visit someone in the hospital that is about to die, and they will say something like, "Have you made your peace with God?" And I think to myself, that is the wrong terminology. I understand what they're trying to say, but in and of ourselves, we can't make peace with God. Jesus already made that peace for us on the cross. And all we have to do is believe. We put our faith, our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not Jesus plus good works or Jesus plus baptism or Jesus plus church membership. No, no, it's Christ and Christ alone. When we add anything to Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross, it's an insult to the power of the cross. No wonder Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." That's what needs to be preached from pulpits all across America. It's amazing to me to hear about preachers that will go into their pulpits without the Bible, that they will minister week after week, and yet they will never share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. What people need to hear is about Jesus. You say, "I wish, preacher, you'd tell more jokes." I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to preach the Word of God to you. If I have a good joke every now and then, I'll share that joke. But mainly, I am here to preach the Word, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because people don't need another joke, they need Jesus. Again, in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, Paul writes, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, we need to point people to Jesus. We need to point people to the cross. We don't need to send people out of here saying, "Oh, you'll be okay. You just keep trying real hard." No, you can try all you want, but what you need to do is put your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, that's why we're here today. That's why we're here. That's why we're about as Christians to observe the Lord's Supper. It's so that we can take a mental journey back to the cross, where we think about the person of that cross, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We think about the purpose of that cross, and that is, He was not dying for any sin that He had committed, but there He suffered and He bled and He died for the sins of the whole world. He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We think about the power of the cross, of how He can save an old wretched sinner like you and me. God loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. As we gather around the Lord's table here this morning, and I look at the plates of bread and the trays of juice, and I say to myself, we must never, ever forget the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't forget what Jesus did for you. You couldn't save yourself. God provided the way of salvation. All you had to do is believe. Believe in what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross, how He died for your sins. And when you put your faith in Him, you went from death unto life. Suddenly your sins were washed away. You became a child of God, and God began to transform your heart and your life. May we never, ever, ever get over the cross. Why do we observe the Lord's Supper about, I think it's around six times a year, so that we don't forget the sacrifice of Jesus? Partaking of the Lord's Supper doesn't save you. This is not a means of grace, but rather, because we have experienced His amazing grace in our lives, we come and we observe the Lord's Supper together as a local church. This is a wonderful, wonderful time as we celebrate what Jesus has accomplished for us. No person here today can strut around and say, "Yeah, I got saved because of something I did." Nobody will be walking around to heaven talking about what all they did to get there. There'll only be one answer, and that'll be, "I'm here because of Jesus and what He did on the cross." We're humbled today. We're realizing today, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that really, we're nothing. We're nothing but lost sinners. And yet, God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die in our place. We ought to be humbled. We ought to be grateful today for what Jesus did for us. We are creatures that tend to forget. We are forgetful people. We go about living life and we go about doing all the things that we have planned day in and day out. And we forget that if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for the cross, we would still be lost in our sins today. The only hope that we have is Jesus and the cross. So today, do you know Him? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you're here today and you say, you know what? I've been counting on my own good works. I've been counting on my baptism, on my church membership, on growing up in a Christian home. And today you need to swallow your pride and you need to come and you need to settle this matter of your salvation today. Don't leave here with doubts about your salvation, saying, man, I hope I'm saved. You can know, according to 1 John chapter 5, you can know today without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. What Jesus accomplished on the cross was not for you to hope that you're saved, but rather that you might know that you are saved. And so today, if you have any doubts at all about your salvation, if you say, you know what, I've never made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know what, I don't ever remember making that decision. People tell me that I made that decision when I was really young, but I don't personally remember it. Well, can I ask you a question? Is it important for them to know or for you to know? It's important for you to know. You cannot live your life on the memory that somebody else has about your decision for Christ. At some point, you've got to have it nailed down in your mind, the point and time and place where you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision today, to settle it. Maybe God's Holy Spirit is working in your heart and life right now. You can feel the conviction, the tug of the Holy Spirit right now. And you can also hear the voice of Satan say, another day, another week, another Sunday. Don't worry about that. It's no big deal. You're okay. You're not okay without Jesus as your personal Savior. Today, make that decision for Christ. Will you stand with me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and everyone is searching their own heart and life. Do you know for sure that you're saved today? If you don't know for sure, I'm going to ask you to make a very, very important and a very courageous decision today. I'm going to ask you to slip out of your place in a moment and to come and to talk with one of our counselors, one of our pastors up front. And say, I want to nail this down today. I want to settle it. I'm tired of living life wondering whether I'm saved or not. Today, I want to make that decision. If that is your testimony, if that is what you desire today, I'm going to encourage you to come in just a moment. After I pray, I want you to immediately step out of your place and come to this altar. There may be others today that you say, I know I'm saved, but I need to be baptized just like that gentleman got baptized this morning. That's what I need to do. I want to encourage you to take that first step of obedience. Maybe God's leading you to become a member of our church, or maybe today you just need to come and get right with God. I don't know what decision you need to make today. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just a minister preaching God's word to you today. But I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Do that which the Holy Spirit is asking you to do today. I'm going to pray. And then immediately when I get through praying, if you need to be saved, if you want to nail down this matter of salvation in your heart and life, or you need to make that decision for baptism, or you want to join our church, or maybe you just need to find a quiet place at this altar here today and get right with God. Whatever spiritual decision you need to make, as soon as I say the amen, I want you to come. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that we have the opportunity to hear the gospel, how that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and he conquered death and the grave with his victorious resurrection. Thank you that we have the opportunity to respond to that gospel, to put our faith, our trust in your Son Jesus. And I pray for that person here today that needs to make that very, very important decision. I pray that you would give them the courage to step out, to make that decision today. We pray for other spiritual decisions that need to be made. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would win the battle today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.